The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, Owen Shane is here from Off the Ball. Hello, Owen.
Hey, Claire, how's it going?
I'm great, but I'm really intrigued by this Real Madrid story. Fisticuffs, what's going on?
So Real Madrid are playing Barcelona on Sunday night in a Clásico. And while the game feels unimportant because Barcelona are so far ahead of them, it kind of feels like the most important Clásico in a long time for all the off-field drama that we've seen develop at Real Madrid over the past number of days. So just to break this down, Federico Valverde, who's one of their best players, basically ended up in hospital with a head injury. And this was after a row with Aurélien Tchouaméni, his French teammate, the midfielder. And now Valverde has gone on the record and said there was no connection to the head, no punch to the head. The reason why I went to hospital with a head injury was that I slipped and accidentally hit a table. I was not punched in the head by my teammate. So there was a row, but there was no fisticuffs.
The table hit me. The table jumped up and hit me.
Exactly. Yeah. It was unrelated. He slipped. He fell. He has been diagnosed with a concussion, a cranioencephalic concussion. So is it a serious thing? Well, he has been released from hospital.
He needed stitches, did he?
He must have done. And it was referred to as a traumatic brain injury.
Yeah.
Which I don't want to understate what he has gone through on a medical level or guess what has happened. But sometimes when it comes to Real Madrid, there is a soap opera around this club and the reporting around it can be wildly sensationalist.
But what is the problem between the two lads? Do we know?
We don't know the specifics of that problem. We don't know the specifics of the problem between Antonio Rudiger and Alvaro Carreras either. They also had an altercation in the training ground earlier this week. We do know, according to reporting anyway, that there was a row between Kylian Mbappe and one of the coaching staff a few weeks ago due to the fact that he was flagged offside in training and was unhappy about this. And Kylian Mbappe is allegedly one of the reasons why there has been some unrest. It's not all on his shoulders, but the Spanish press have gone to town on Mbappe over the past couple of months. He's injured at the moment and he had a week off last week. He went to Sardinia. He was photographed on a yacht with his girlfriend and the Spanish press were not too pleased with this. He's more than entitled to do what he was, what he did. He's not breaking any rules, but they believe it was a bad look for a club that for a second consecutive season will not win La Liga and will certainly not win the Champions League. So Kylian Mbappe probably needs to not be going on holiday is kind of their view of it.
Okay.
There has been some suggestion that himself and Jude Bellingham don't get on. And really, the conclusion to this is that there are high-up meetings taking place at the Bernabeu involving Florentino Perez and Arbeloa and the captain, Carvajal. They just need to get an adult in the room at this stage.
Yeah. They're such princes of the sport, though.
Yes.
Like Mbappe, who I just think is fascinating. You know, like I read a long article about him years ago where he was taken out of school when he was like 11, put into this high performance place in France where they live. You know, I mean, that's just not a normal life. So when you get into a situation where you're not winning and somebody else is accusing you of perhaps not doing something or not performing, you're probably not going to be able to react well to that.
It's true, but I think Mbappe potentially is particularly princely, if that's a phrase, because they're all a bit precious, I would suggest, all the people he is surrounded with. Vinicius Jr., the same. Jude Bellingham, the same. I think they've all been spoiled as a result of their incredible talents from the moment they could kick a football.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not out on his own on this. They too have been told they're the best things in sliced bread for the duration of their lives, let alone their playing careers. But Mbappe, I think, goes a little bit further than everything. This is a remarkable thing. There was an online petition calling for Mbappe out, and this spread across social media. There was, I don't know what the aim was for the signatures. 200,000 signatures was what they aimed to get on it. More than 12 million people have signed it in less than 24 hours.
Oh.
Although I have seen some people say that, is this actually a brilliant piece of, you know, anti-Real Madrid behaviour by Atletico fans and by Barcelona fans to create an online movement to sign this petition?
It's not nice though, is it?
No,
it's not nice.
And I'm not sure if getting rid of Kylian Mbappe is necessarily the answer. He scored 85 goals in his 100 appearances for the club, so his figures are good. The question, and it's a question that Real Madrid have been wrestling with for 20, 25 years, is how do you get all these talents onto the pitch together and for them to coexist? It's like the Galactico era all over again. But after the World Cup, if they get Carlo Ancelotti back to Real Madrid, he'll whip them into shape. As I say, they just need an adult in the room. Yeah. And Carlo Ancelotti, with his raised singular eyebrow, tends to be the sight that strikes fear into these Real Madrid
goals. Okay, listen, we better move on because there's an awful lot to talk about and we're hurtling towards news. So we have Arsenal and West Ham. This is massive for Arsenal on Sunday evening. Like this, talk about the roller coaster. I mean, it's been crazy stuff, but they're in a good place as we speak.
They're in a great place after what happened on Monday night. Of course, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about how Manchester City are certainly going to win the Premier League title. I did not see Monday night coming. I thought Manchester City were going to go to Everton. I thought they were going to win. When they were 1-0 up, I was certain that they were going to win. So Manchester City's second half collapse at the Hill Dickinson Stadium was extraordinary. However, they did pull out a late equaliser from Jeremy Doku on Monday night, and time will tell how important that's going to be. The crucial thing for Arsenal, given the goal difference at the top of the Premier League right now, given that's four goals, is that they can probably afford to draw a game. And the toughest fixture they have between now and the end of the season is this West Ham fixture away from home on Sunday at 4:30. They have Burnley after that. They have Crystal Palace after that. So West Ham, by distance, have the most to play for out of those three teams. So will Arsenal accept a draw on Sunday? Will they be a little bit cautious, how they have been in previous Premier League games, certainly in 2026 so far? Quite possibly. And
I hope
maybe
not.
That will be enough.
No, we don't want to watch that. Come on.
The royal we, the sort of the neutral probably doesn't want to watch it. I suspect Arsenal fans would be okay if they were relatively cautious on Sunday. That they probably do need to keep winning. Like Manchester City could hammer Crystal Palace on Wednesday evening, for example. They're playing Brentford tomorrow evening, by the way. But that Palace fixture next week for Manchester City, it's their game in hand. That's the one where they might rack up a few goals. So maybe it is risky business looking at that goal difference and thinking we are okay to draw one game. But West Ham at home, they've got so much to play for. It's a really, really tricky fixture for them on Sunday.
Okay, what else are you looking forward to over the weekend then?
Well, the Gaelic games are huge once again this weekend. So you've got two provincial finals. You've got the Connacht and Munster finals. You've got Roscommon versus Galway at the Hyde at 4:15 on Sunday. That's after Kerry versus Cork at Fitzgerald Stadium at 1:45. You've got the return of the hurling as well. You've got Waterford Cork tomorrow evening at 6:00 in Walsh Park. That's the only Munster Championship game this weekend. Waterford, they just need to win this game this weekend. They've come so close to winning their first two games. Drew against Tip, put in a really spirited effort in attack against Clare, but haven't got that win. They need to win tomorrow if they're going to qualify from the round robin. In Leinster then, you've got Kildare Galway, you've got Offaly Kilkenny, but Wexford versus Dublin tomorrow at 4:00 is a huge game in Leinster. I don't necessarily think both of those teams are getting out of Leinster. I think it'll be Galway, Kilkenny and another. That other team will be Wexford or Dublin. So whoever wins that game goes through. So that's a huge game tomorrow evening in the Leinster Championship. Now, just to pivot back to the football for a moment, because we've got the All-Ireland Football Championship draw completed earlier this week, there's a lot of talk about how much these games actually matter on Sunday. How much does Kerry Cork matter when Kerry know they have to play Donegal in 2 weeks? Cork know they have to play Meath in 2 weeks. The same goes for Roscommon and Galway. They know their opponents. I'm not quite sure it'll diminish too much the occasions this weekend because there is literally a trophy on the line, particularly when it comes to the likes of Roscommon and Cork, who are not the reigning champions in their provinces. I think there's a potential for huge occasions on Sunday afternoon, but maybe the debate around when you do the draw needs to be revisited because it does feel a little bit odd that all four teams playing football this weekend know exactly what their next game is going to be.
Yeah, there's a risk that it takes the heat out of it, you know.
It is. There is a lack of jeopardy, to use Gaelic Games' favourite word over the last couple of years.
And a quick word on the League of Ireland fixtures.
Yeah, so Galway United versus Shamrock Rovers is our live game on Off the Ball tonight. Stephen Doyle and Johnny Dunleavy are going to be commentating on that one from 7:45. It was a really, really big week last week for the League of Ireland in terms of what we might actually expect to happen here. Last Friday was very dramatic in terms of St. Pat's clinging on to kind of affairs at the top of the table. But Monday, as a lot of people expected, twisted back the other way, where Shamrock Rovers were the only team to actually get a win. So they've opened up a 3-point gap at the top of the table on St. Pat's. Those Friday, Monday weeks tend to be the weeks where Shamrock Rovers have done damage over the past couple of seasons because of the tight turnaround. Their squad depth is their strongest weapon, really, in those sorts of weeks. And so it proved last week. But there might just be another twist in the tail. Galway, tough place to go. And St. Pat's are at home to Waterford at 8:00 this evening.
Thank you very much, Owen Sheehan there from Off the Ball.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.